face. And I cannot fathom what types of things Mary did ponder in her heart and what she thought about in regard to the fact of being chosen of you to be used for such a major part that would affect all of this world. And Father, as we have an opportunity this season to be able to not only ponder what is going on in the world as a result of Jesus Christ's impact, but Father, may we be willing to share and talk about the important things that took place because Jesus came as a babe. He grew and He died, but He lives again. Father, we thank You for this Christmas time, this season, where we can reflect upon these wonderful truths and that we can be encouraged. Again, we thank You for the privilege of being able to gather together today and be challenged by Your Word. We ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. Have your Bibles with you. I hope you'll turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we've been talking over the last couple months about the importance of contentment and the importance of understanding joy and peace in our lives and how that God used the Apostle Paul, an individual that was very intense, accomplished many things, some would call him a type A personality, but one who writes to us through the inspiration of God about the importance of having joy in our lives, contentment, peace, one who is able to deal with the pressures of life. Well, as would as we bring ourselves into this season, we're going to talk about things that affect our Christmas. And one of the things, as I look at this portion of Scripture, is it affects how we look at the issue of gift giving. Now, some of you are excellent gift givers. Some of you just love that aspect of Christmas. You just love to be able to go out and match that perfect gift with the individual, and you have no problems whatsoever. For you, I just encourage you not to apply what I'm saying to Christmas giving, because you don't need it, okay? But to those of you that are somewhat dysfunctional in this process, like me, that painstakingly take time to try to pick things out and don't really put the pieces of the puzzle together. Last night I was kind of reflecting on this with my children of the various kind of gifts that I've given, and we had a good time laughing at the gifts. And I talked about the time when I went to and bought the this neat little thing that I found after running around, usually on Christmas Eve is the time when I do my shopping, but I found this this castle, and it was made out of wood, and it had mirrors and all that stuff, and it made a wonderful jewelry box, is what it was. And I bought that for my mom and gave that to her, and didn't really take in consideration she doesn't wear jewelry, so she didn't really. But it was a nice little thing to stick around there. And I remember struggling with what types of things to get for siblings and such. And I remember I came up with a new plan, and that plan was, I'll buy for them what I want to play with. Yeah. Now, some of you parents do that too, I know. And I can still remember playing with this toy several times before I had to put it back in the box and wrap it for my younger brother and thinking, well, this is going to be so much fun. And I finally stopped playing with it because I thought, well, what if I break it? You know, so I put it back in. This even carried over to some of my dysfunction when we had our wedding. It was my responsibility to find gifts for all the guys who were part of our wedding, and I tried to think of what would match them. And of course, I've been in a few weddings and got some gifts myself, a pin or a tie, and I was trying to think, well, these guys, a lot of them work with their hands, so I decided to get them all knives. They were just basically glorified box cutters, but I got them for them, and after I gave them to them, I thought, well, I saved a lot of money, but it's a thought that counts. How much thinking went into that? Oh, just scattered the dysfunction there. But anyway, but if you're content on how you're doing, just don't listen to me, because as you can tell, I am not an expert on that subject, but I can take the time to unfold the Word of God to you today as about how the Apostle Paul responded to a gift that was given to him, and some basic principles that can help us in our giving, whether it's giving at Christmas time, or giving to those that might be need around us, or giving to the Lord's ministry, or whatever it might be. We can take these principles and utilize them in our ministry of giving. So I'm going to look at three different truths that can help us in regard to help us realize the benefit of gift giving. Because quite frankly, I had gotten to the place where I just didn't want to give gifts because it's so hard. It was so difficult. And then through much of my times of Christmas, it just became quite a chore. And I don't want that to be the truth for you. And maybe we can together go through this process of becoming better gift givers. Not so much on making sure we have a right gift, but just have a right heart in regard to it. I want to turn to Philippians chapter 4. We already looked last week at how the Apostle Paul looked at contentedness. And he closed those words with, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what a wonderful statement that is, to recognize our dependence upon Jesus Christ to help us through whatever we might be going through. And I guess I want to just preface that whatever you might be experiencing as a challenge this season, that you recognize you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But Paul goes on to talk a little bit more to the people of Philippi, to encourage them, because they have been such a blessing to him, and he wants to reciprocate and let them know how that their interaction in his life has been such a blessing. And so he goes on to say in verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. He just said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I think at that point in verse 14, he's talking about the vehicle that God uses many times to provide for us the strength to be able to accomplish those things. And Paul opens the door for us to understand that is what he's talking about, is their input into this element of how God provides. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Paul goes on talking about how their gift had an impact in his particular life. And what a challenge that is for us when we consider our giving, is it not just be something that we do out of habit or give out of just feel like we need to in regard to the fact that somebody has given to us, but that we recognize that we can have an impact in the lives of other individuals, that gift is not just a non-gift or not, you know, just something that's is there. It should have an impact in others. Looking again at verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. He's talking about the sharing aspect in the experience, that they were alongside, the concept that it wasn't that their gift was dislocated from him. It was something that they were involved with. And what a beautiful way to talk about that. As Apostle Paul talked about how that he had gone through these various difficulties and such, he's able to say, because of their willingness to give unto, you were sharing into that. It was something that made us part of working together. That's the concept of fellowship. Fellowship has that idea that we're sharing something in common. And what a challenge it is to us to recognize that when we are wanting to allow to be, our gifts to be a part of impacting others, that we're actually sharing a part of ourselves. And there's a lot of ways in which we can do that. One is doing a little more research before you buy things, instead of just saying, oh, their guys work with their hands and I'll get them all knives or something like that. But to come up with something that might be a little more personable, something that they can really relate to, something that can be of help and memorable to them. And so I guess I could have put engraved with a knife on the side, Scott and Marty, 82. But that would, never mind, we'll move off that. But sharing in the experience. Now you Philippians also know also that in the beginning of the gospel, and that's that part where he's talking about there, where they had shared with him, but at that time no other church had shared or given concern or anything about giving and receiving. And I think what's interesting on this is the fact that Paul is kind of rehearsing a little bit what's gone on, because essentially the time frame he's talking about is about 10 years prior. And he's talking about the fact that when he began the beginning of the gospel, when he's leaving Macedonia and such, that was something that took place several years back. The Apostle Paul is still rehearsing how that their gift was such a blessing to him, even way back then. So Paul didn't take that lightly. And so what he's saying is, your gift has impacted. Your gift has impacted your life. Some of the gifts that have impacted me the most has been those which people have just given of their lives. And I just want to encourage you not to take that lightly, of the time and the energy and the caring that you put in other people's lives. Several years ago, I had the privilege of going back to the church wherein I was attending when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. The church that was instrumental in helping me get some of the initial discipling in my life. And it was my privilege to come back, and they asked me to sing. And I sang the song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed." And as I was able to sing that, I was able to think back to looking into the pews and seeing the faces that were representative of people who had an impact in my life. What a gift! And I imagine that's what the Apostle Paul did when he wrote these words, is he just thought about what a blessing they were to him, and that they cared. And what one thing it should help us in regard to giving, and whatever facet might be, that it can have an impact. And we don't know what kind of impact we might have in other people's lives, and we ought to not take it for granted. And as a pastor, I can say now, being on the other side of, in comparison to when I was a child and the impact that was there, but the impact of those who I serve along with, and the love and the care and the opportunity to serve, what a blessing. And many of you are so much a part of that, and I appreciate it. Paul remembered their gifts, the memories that were left from Macedonia, encouragement regarding to the gift. Also, note under the same point, letter B, gifts can meet needs. Apostle Paul goes, says, "For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again," a repetitive thing, "for my necessities." I think this is interesting. Needs for the work at hand is what basically that word necessities have. But the concept of recognizing that Paul was going to use that which was given to accomplish a particular task, helping the receiver to be better equipped. The Apostle Paul looked at that which was given to him and said, "I can use this now to accomplish more things for God." That was kind of his attitude and why he was so excited about it, because they helped with his necessities. Now, isn't it encouraging when you can give something to someone and you know they can utilize it right away? Isn't that quite a blessing to know that they just, it's something that they have needed and desired, because it's going to help enhance their life, enhance their ministry, allow them to be able to accomplish something? That's where a real joy comes into. And I just encourage you this time of the year that maybe you can't do that with all of your gift giving, because I know there's so many different nuances in how we celebrate Christmas and such. But I encourage you to keep in mind, if you want to have that joy of giving, recognize that there are those times when you can spot a need and give to it and have a great blessing as a result of it, to know that you're the source God chose to use. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul is reiterating in this passage, is that God can supply my needs in a variety of fashions, but He's chosen you to provide for that. And what a blessing that is, to help the receiver to be better equipped. And so that helps us think about, well, what can I give? What can I give this year that will really help someone out? That will help them, not just so that their life might be better, and that's okay, but that can help them improve, help them to better serve God, help them to better be used for the Lord's work. Those are different things that we can think about in regard to filling that necessity, a gift that meets a need. Second point that I note, not only is the giving something that has an impact, but giving also impresses God. I don't know how you look at things in regard to impressing God, if you're even concerned about impressing God. A lot of us get all caught up with this time of the year of being more concerned about impressing people. You want to get that right gift so we can impress them with how good of a shopper we are, or things along that line. But have you thought about things that impress God? Verse 17 goes on to say, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. He goes on to talk about the element that an account is set up. Now, the understanding here is not that Paul kept an account of all the churches that gave to him and said, okay, this is all going to be going to your account, and I'm keeping track of this so much for, okay, X amount of money from Philippians. You know? That isn't what's understood in this text, is what he's talking about being fruit to their account. Because quite frankly, if Paul was doing that, it was meaningless. Because the Apostle Paul didn't keep track of things like that, from what we know. He basically used the money that was given to him to be able to further the gospel, and he didn't provide any favor. There were no kickbacks. There were nothing that he did in particular for those who gave. And so it wouldn't be an issue that he kept a big ledger for their account so that he would, you know, come and do special things for them. I believe he's talking about the account that God keeps. The account that God is concerned about, that God does indeed keep track of what we do. And this is an important concept to keep in mind in regard to all of our lives. This time of the year, we think an awful lot about Christmas and about the things that pertain to it. But I want to remind you that our whole lives ought to be concerned about this issue of pleasing God. That God records our deeds. God knows what we're doing. He knows our heart behind the deeds. He keeps track of these various things because He cares about us individually, and He's concerned about helping us to be the best tools and instruments for His glory. God notices. He notices when a bird falls. He notices when a new hair grows or falls out. He knows the number of our hairs. He can call the stars by name. I mean, He knows all these various things. He knows what you and I do. He knows when he talks about the fact that He knows when we take a cup of water and give it to someone in His name, He knows about that. He knows when we do unto others in a loving fashion. He knows all these various things, and He takes account of that. Our lives are not just insignificant actions that go on. What we do counts for God. And it's exciting to think about how that we can indeed, the things that we do that doesn't necessarily impress other individuals, can impress God and please God. Because it comes to the account of God, but also God is interested in what we do, and that He talks about the second point of pleasing Him with what we're giving. Look at that. It says, "A thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Apostle Paul already mentioned it was pleasing to him. It was an appreciation that we were showing for what has been taken place, what have been giving. But he's saying it's also a well-pleasing sacrifice to God. Just like that picture, if you can envision, for many of them, they could understand when they had the sacrifices at that time, and people brought their sacrifices to God, and they laid it before the altar, and as the aroma went up, the anticipation was, oh, that God would be pleased with what I brought Him today, that He might accept that, and He'd be pleased with it. Well, God is saying that that should be a part of our lives in all of our activities. And He's saying particularly in this area of giving. And I want to encourage you in this, because sometimes we get compartmentalized. God has confronted me with that this last week in preparation even for this message, about sometimes I like to compartmentalize my life. This is my spiritual part of my life, and this is the things that I put in that category, and this is my less spiritual. Some people call it secular, some people call it other things, but it's the part where, you know, this is the part where I got to make sure it conforms to the Scriptures. This is the part God doesn't talk a whole lot about, so I can do whatever I want in this area. But can I tell you that we are not divided that way? And we don't have times where we turn on spirituality and then we can turn them off and go from one place to another. God has overriding principles, and He wants to be able to follow us wherever we go. We don't just go from one room to the next without God. We bring the Holy Spirit with us. And so we got to bring the biblical principles with us as well. And so those principles that we would have when we think about giving to God's work and giving to His ministry and things like that should also be principles that we use to govern when we use our money for other things as well. When we're giving gifts to other individuals and such, we ought to think about the fact, oh, I am interested in making sure that this individual is pleased with what I am giving them, but are we really thinking about, is God pleased with what I'm giving to? Is God pleased with how I'm spending His money on these various things? And that's a challenge for us to think about and make sure we don't compartmentalize and say, well, this is just, you know, this is how I give when I'm giving for God, and this is when I give when I'm giving for my family, friends, or whatever. Folks, all things are made for Him and by Him, and that we're to have that same attitude regardless of what we're doing. Sure, it might play out a little bit differently and as far as some of the specifics and things like that, but the point is the attitude in the heart should be, I should be concerned about how I'm spending my money for God. And that we should look at this time of year. That unfortunately, many people find themselves getting into financial hardships or things along that line, all under the guise of wanting to have a wonderful Christmas. We have to sit down and say, is this pleasing to God? Is it pleasing to God for me to put myself in this kind of financial jeopardy and such? So those are the types of things that we need to recognize in regard to pleasing God. There might be a sacrifice. All that we do should please God. Second of all, it should apply to all gifts, not just to those, to His work. Third encouragement that we have from the Scripture, we're kind of this summary statement. He says, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Giving imitates God. I mentioned earlier that the Apostle Paul was pulling the people of Philippi into this whole process of God strengthening him. I believe he's kind of sandwiching it in between 13 and 19. I don't know about you, but Philippians 4:13 and Philippians 4:19 were probably the first two verses out of Philippians that I was familiar with. And many times, because they were the first two that I was familiar with, I get them interchanged. And I can't remember which one's 13 and which one's 19 at times, because they have the same real encouraging message, but to realize that these verses have something in between them. And that what's in between them is his description of how God had used a people of Philippi to provide for special needs to be able to further the ministry. Now, I don't know about you, but that's helped me put these two verses together. That God can strengthen me to do all things, and that God will supply all their needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And in between is this attitude of how we should give and what the impact of our giving can be. And so as a result, I look at that from the idea of our giving then is an opportunity to be used of God, an instrument of God. That's another point we could have put in here, that I can be an instrument of God to give unto those that might have needs and to have a great joy in part of it. But also we imitate God, because Paul, at the conclusion of the statement, talking about how that they give, about how his needs are met, he says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I don't think that Paul's necessarily saying that if you give to me, God will give to you. I don't think that's what the point is. Some of the great ministries out there that are, you know, really growing and going, that's what they would say. You just give to the pastor $100,000 and God will take care of you. Yeah. Type of a thing. No, I don't think that's what Paul's saying here. I think Paul is saying is that what you're doing in giving is just imitating God. God presents Himself as the Heavenly Father that is so anxious to give to us. In Matthew chapter 6, as he's describing his relationship to those dear folks that were worried and concerned about where their meals would come from, where their food would come from, where their shelter would come from, and all these various things. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. And he said, if you worry about these things, you worry like someone who doesn't have a father, but you do have a father. And he describes as being a heavenly father that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And so God has given us this image of what giving is all about. How does God give to us? In the book of Luke, we're talking about prayer. He says He gives to you like a father would give when someone asks for a piece of bread to his father. His father's not going to say, here, have a rock. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. And many times we don't even know how to ask for what we need. And He's given to us the Holy Spirit then that makes groanings that cannot be uttered so we can get what we need. And someone has clearly stated, God provides our needs, but He doesn't necessarily provide our greeds. There's sometimes he keeps things back from us. But when we have a right relationship with God the Father, we understand that he is one that supplies. And he supplies all the need according to his riches. God gives that model for a given. He gives to meet needs. God is a compassionate God that's concerned about making sure those that are desiring to serve him have what they need. Now, I want to just encourage you in this way. If you think God has called you to accomplish something, do you believe God wants you to do something? He's going to equip you to do it. God doesn't lead you down some place and not provide. As someone has said, he does not guide where he does not provide. God is a God who wants to make sure that his children are equipped to accomplish that which is necessary to keep the work of God going on. So when we have needs, whether they might be physical, financial, emotional, social, God is there to provide those needs and help us be able to accomplish those things. As I mentioned last week, I believe, is the Apostle Paul that said, it was in the times when my life was just really difficult. It was a time when I prayed to God to change it, and he wouldn't. But instead he said, my grace is sufficient. And then he said, well, then I will glory in that grace, because then I know when something happens, God gets the glory. Folks, when we do things based upon what we can accomplish, based upon my own reason, based upon my own understanding, I can take credit for it. But when I see it as a legitimate gift from God, I can give glory to God and be able to say, I know that if I tried to do this on my own, it never would have happened. But I know God touched my life. God intervened and provided a gift so that I can accomplish that. Many times our pride doesn't want to accept that. But our pride does a lot of things to us. And quite frankly, one of the things that pride does for us is cheats us of the great blessing of seeing God work in our life. But we can give to meet needs like God. And then our goal should be to encourage and help others continue to be able to accomplish that what God has called them to do. God gives of his riches. I think this is exciting. The generosity of God. When he talks about that God is there to provide for us, he doesn't talk about God giving out of his excess, whatever is left over. He doesn't talk about him giving over, you know, God has all this stuff he's got for heaven and all these other things. He's saying God gives of his riches. And he calls us to think about that. Do we get in this habit of thinking that God is poor? Do we get that idea that God is poor? We act like it sometimes, don't we? We act like he has so few resources. We act like he can't provide these various things. God owns everything. Everything that individual that you've looked at in the last year and kind of envied. And you thought, boy, I just wish I had their job, their house, their car, or whatever. God owns that. If God wanted, he could take it away from that individual and give it to you, right? But is that necessary? He doesn't have to take it from that individual. God has so much more stockpile, he doesn't have to do that. So we don't have to envy other people. We don't have to pray for their demise. We don't have to pray for things to go wrong with them. God has riches, all, that we cannot comprehend. And God says he will supply our need. Now, will it always come in a monetary format? Will it always come in as things? Or will it sometimes come in ways that we just never dreamt that he would provide? And the third point under that we can imitate God in is God gives through Jesus Christ in the glory by Christ Jesus. That God uses Jesus Christ as the Son, as the instrument to provide for us all these blessings. And that through Jesus we can accomplish these things. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. When we come to the Father, in Jesus' name. Because Jesus is the one who provides that opportunity for us to have access to God, to have access to the Father, to be able to see the wonderful gifts that God has planned for us. It's in Jesus' name. And how much do we encourage that in our giving? That we recognize that we have the opportunity to give unto someone else, and maybe even out of our riches. to be able to say, this is a gift, and it actually comes from Jesus, but He's using me right now. And I'm thrilled to be able to get it. And recognize that all things come from God through Jesus Christ. And we're just mere vessels of His. And as we look at things from that perspective, again, like I said, some of you are just wonderful at Christmas time shopping. You enjoy the gift giving. You don't have to listen to any of this, okay? But some of us who struggle with wrong motives for giving, struggle with giving gifts when we don't know why we should be giving gifts, and we get discouraged, we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of things, and we just want to get to the point where we say, no more. I don't want to mess with it anymore. I want to encourage you that there is some great blessing in giving, and that this is a wonderful time of the year to be able to experience that giving and to be able to utilize it, not so that we can bring attention to ourselves, but that we can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to have enjoyable gift giving? Think about those things that will have impact on the recipients. Think about those things that will really help them, really sharpen them for God. Think about that which impresses God. Don't cut Him out of this whole process. Don't just say, okay, well, God is, my Christmas time with God is when I come to church, or I go caroling, or I do this. No, your Christmas time with God should be throughout the whole experience. And thirdly, seek to imitate God. That's what, you know, the word Christian is. If you're a believer, Christian is a little Christ. That's what the word means. That we should be like Him. And we want to accomplish those things, not only please Him, but also show others more and more of what He is like. God has given to us some beautiful gifts. One of those gifts is that gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you understand that gift. But it's possible you don't. I went for a long time not understanding that. It wasn't until I was 14 or 15 years old that I understood really what Jesus Christ was all about, what Christmas was all about. To understand that Jesus Christ not only came as a babe, but that He came for a purpose. He came for the purpose to die on the cross for my individual sins according to the Scripture. The Bible says my sins separate me from God. That God has a wonderful desire for me to have a loving relationship with Him, but my sins, sin nature we inherited from our family, it's just been something going on since Adam and Eve. That these sins keep me from being able to have that close relationship with God, but in the midst of that big problem, God gave the greatest gift. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's Jesus Christ. That whoever, and that's anybody in this room, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is not a greater gift that God has given than this gift of eternal life through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing better than you that you can do than to accept that gift. And as someone aptly stated, is that a gift doesn't become a gift until the receiver takes the gift. God has a gift up here for every one of us, if He would. And all He wants us to do is reach out and say, I will take it. And I will allow it to be a part of my life. And that's what He says about Jesus. Jesus does not force Himself on anyone. Jesus does not say, I'm going to be your Savior. Live with it. Jesus says, I would love to be your Savior. Let me. And so He says, if we will take the time to believe in Him, that we receive Him, that He will bring us into this beautiful relationship of being children of God, and that we can rejoice with the Father and know that all these gifts that He has planned for us will be for us, not for just this life, but the eternal life. But in order to get the other gifts, you've got to accept the primary gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I encourage you, if you have not done that today, please take care of it so that you can know from this point on that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't always know how much time we have to make a decision like that. And if you've not made a decision for Jesus Christ, if you've not accepted the gift, do it now. I guarantee it'll be one of the greatest things that you can do. And a wonderful time to do it is now as you think about this wonderful gift giving that God has given to us. Father, I come to you in prayer, and I just pray that as we think about the song that was sung prior to our message about Mary and about the things that she pondered, I pray for each one that is here right now as they ponder. Lord, there's some that have a special relationship with you and have had it for a long time. Lord, I pray that they'll be pondering about how that they can share that wonderful truth with others out of the love and appreciation that they have. Father, there's others that might be just struggling with accepting this gift, wanting to do something for it, wanting to work for it, wanting to get their life straightened out, wanting to change. But Father, you give it as an unconditional gift that we can only take in the condition that we're in. And I pray for them that they might recognize that and lovingly and appreciatively take that gift into their life of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for this privilege of gathering together with our friends and being able to share your word. And Lord, for whatever we use this for, if it's for the Christmas holiday or for our giving or our living or whatever it might be, that we might remember these principles, that indeed we can have an impact in people's lives, that we can impress you and that we can imitate you. And help us to keep those in the forefront of our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.